grateful as we consider who you are and as we consider all that you have done in our lives and as we think of you in the big picture of what this life is. And oh Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, and so would you just instill in us a heart of gratitude, and would your Spirit work through your word once again to just nail some of these truths deep within our hearts, that we might know you better, that we might understand your word more, that we might be convicted to become more like you in this particular area. And so use my lips to speak your truth with accuracy, and would you open our hearts to receive what your Spirit will say to us, that we would humbly accept it and not only be hearers of the word this morning, but that we would be doers of it as well. And Lord, would you again just equip us with what we need this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. In my discussions with a few people this week about the subject matter of this morning's message, my impression was that speaking of unthankfulness as something sinful came as a bit of a surprise. And there may be a number of reasons for that. First, it's not something we usually address from the perspective of something sinful, but rather something that we should simply practice more often. Second, there are no verses in the Bible that say you shall not be unthankful, even though there are numerous verses, which we will look at later, that command us to be thankful. Being thankful is much more than just saying a few words of gratitude or sending a note of appreciation, but it is one of those distinctive characteristics that is to be actively evident in the lives of God's people. However, as we live in a culture of prosperity where we expect instant gratification and where we expect endless entitlements to whatever degree those may be, I think the disease of unthankfulness can easily sneak its way into our lives and into the church as well, which is something we need to be careful in not taking lightly. What I found rather interesting in my studies this week in the area of unthankfulness is a number of things that unthankfulness is associated with that should, or at least, should be somewhat troubling to us. At least they were to me. And so let me give you some of the things that unthankfulness is associated with as we begin. First of all, unthankfulness is associated with God's judgment and moral decline. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Verse 21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him." Okay, instead, and you read on that they gave thanks, or they would not give thanks to the Creator, but they worshiped creation itself, which is really like ultimately giving thanks to the physician and not the great physician, if you become well from something. It goes on and it says, "They became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." Verse 24, "Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves." A rather vivid description of the downward spiral of humanity into deeper sin that began in their failure to acknowledge God or give thanks to God, which in essence is the same thing. The second thing I noticed is that unthankfulness is associated with God's anger. Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. "And the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes." Okay, now what was happening here is that they were going from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land and getting rather grumpy about their circumstances along the way. And it says, "And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down." So the name of the place was called Taberah because of the fire, because the fire of the Lord burned against them. Now we look at that and we say, well, those Israelites, after all that God had done for them, saving them from the bondage of slavery from Egypt, all of the miracles that he did right in front of their very eyes, the fact that he had led them visibly with a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night, the fact that he gave them manna and food to eat as they needed it, he defeated their enemies, and he was leading them to their promised destination. And we say, how in the world could they be so unthankful? And yet I find the more I look at Israel, the more I find that we as the church are simply looking ourselves in the mirror. After all that the Lord has done for us in saving us from the bondage of our sin and eternal damnation, providing for us all of our needs and beyond, indwelling us by his Spirit who leads us and directs us from moment to moment, who speaks to us through his word, who defeats the enemies of sin in our lives, and who is leading us to our promised eternal destination. And yet we complain about poor cell phone coverage. And yet we complain about weather. And yet we complain about how long it takes to get our food at the restaurant or how the waitress isn't very effective and efficient. And how impatient we get in standing at the line at the Secretary of State office. And how we complain about refs at a ball game or church going 5 minutes over. And we become dissatisfied with our possessions, and we take for granted our various liberties and freedoms as Christians. Well, many Christians, including even this week, women and young children in Nigeria who were literally being slaughtered by people. I don't know about you, but I think we resemble Israel quite well. And yet it is in those moments of unthankfulness and complaining that we have failed to see the big picture of who God is and how truly good he is to us. In reality, in our unthankfulness, we have chosen to ignore God. The third thing I noticed is that unthankfulness is associated with spiritual drifting and disobedience. I would encourage you to read the entire psalm of Psalm 106, but let me just highlight a few of the verses for you. Verse 13, it says, and it's just, again, speaking of Israel, it says, "But they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel." Verse 21, "They forgot about God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt." And then listen to verse 25. It says, "They murmured in their tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord." They murmured in their tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord. And actually what they were doing is worshiping idols. They were ignoring God. They no longer gave thanks to God. And when your eyes are off of God, which an unthankful heart does, by the way, you are prone to go your own way, and you are prone to drift away from God, and thus you are prone to disobey God in your life. And thankfulness is associated with spiritual drifting and disobedience. And then the fourth thing I found is that unthankfulness is associated with ungodliness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty," and then it goes on to describe what that difficulty looks like, which is a list of describing things that depict ungodliness. It says, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful." And the list continues with a number of other things as well. And so I think it is safe to say that God is not pleased when we ignore Him in our unthankfulness. Even though I realize, yes, we forget, we get sidetracked and we get distracted by many things along with a nature that does not prone to be thankful to God. And yet, the more I've thought about it, the more I really realize that I really believe that's why we have so many verses in Scripture and really so many places where we're commanded over and over again to cultivate a heart of thanksgiving. We need to be reminded, do we not, to be a thankful people. And so let me just give you examples of some of those commands. A number of verses here. Ephesians 5, verse 4. "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." Colossians 2, 6 and 7, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving," oozing thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Psalm 118, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." And I could literally sit here all day in front of you and just read to you verses that tell us to be thankful. Obviously, we don't have the time to do that this morning. But let me just point out to you that the common association that we do see in Scripture with the whole idea of thanksgiving and the practice of thanksgiving is God. God is the reason a heart overflows with thanks. Well, what if you don't have God? Does that mean a non-Christian can't give thanks or be thankful? Well, sure, a non-Christian can be thankful and can give thanks, but I think only to a point before coming to a dead end. See, people can give thanks out of guilt. They can give thanks to manipulate a situation. They can do all sorts of external things. But a heart that oozes thanks is one that is owned and controlled and as a result overwhelmed by who the Lord Jesus Christ is. True thankfulness is the recognition that everything I have and every breath that I breathe and every morsel of food that I eat is a provision from Almighty God. You say, "Well, I give thanks to my mother for the food." Well, that's appropriate that you give thanks to your mother for the food. But let me ask you a question. Where did that food come from? Well, James, it came from the grocery store. Well, where did the grocery store get the food? Well, from the farmer. Where did the farmer get the food? from the seeds that he planted. And where did he get the seeds that he planted? From the plant. Okay, and so where did he get the plant? See, who made the seeds grow so that there could be plants? You can do that with everything. Everything we have and everything we see and everything we enjoy can all be traced back to the hand of God. Drive your car and look around every part of that vehicle, and you can trace everything in that vehicle back to the hand of God. You go walk through your house today and look at everything that is in that house and everything it took to make that house, and everything in it can be traced back to the hand of God. You can do that with anything. And that is why it's not only appropriate to thank your mother for making the food, but to thank God before you eat your food, because you recognize that it is a gift of His grace. And that is a means in which we as believers, especially as believers, are to practice being a thankful people. And that is why we pray before our meals, as a habit for most of us. But if you do not know God, who revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, you will never truly know how to be thankful, because you don't know the object of who your thanks should ultimately be directed to. So you may be sitting here this morning thinking, well, okay, maybe there's some of you that aren't Christians here this morning, or you haven't given your life to the Lord, and you've just heard me make the statement. You say, well, I know numerous people that make the claim to be Christians, and yet the furthest thing that I see in their life is a thankful heart. They're always complaining, always murmuring, always negative. What's the problem with them? Well, it's not that they can't be thankful. So why are we unthankful sometimes as Christians? We're all guilty of this, right? Well, let me give you three reasons why I think we're often unthankful. The first is circumstances. We like to base how we feel on our circumstances. Okay, so if things are going well, all of a sudden I'm feeling a little more cheery and happy and thankful for life, right? And then I've had a terrible day and things just went wrong at work, and I come home just as a grouch and a grump. We base our, whether we're going to be thankful or not, on our circumstances. And yet, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Ooh. Well, how in the world am I supposed to give thanks for all my circumstances? And it doesn't say that. It doesn't say we're supposed to give thanks for all our circumstances. It says we're supposed to actually give thanks in all our circumstances, in the midst of those things. Every circumstance that we are faced with is a choice as to how we're going to respond to it. It's really a choice of either keeping my eyes on my circumstances or keeping my eyes on God. And how you choose to respond will either draw you closer to God or move you further away from Him. The last thing that Satan wants you to do is to give thanks to God. He wants you to live your life by your circumstances, so that when something bad happens to you, you begin to doubt the goodness of God. But the wonderful news is, even though circumstances are constantly changing in a life from good to bad and bad to good, God doesn't change. And that's one of the reasons, if you go to Acts chapter 16 and look at the story of Paul and Silas, after they were beaten to a pulp and thrown into prison and then chained into the against the walls of the inner chambers of that prison, that all of a sudden they decided they were going to start singing praises to God. Well, why in the world would a couple guys that just got beaten up and thrown in jail start singing praises to God? Because they didn't base their lives on their circumstances. They based their lives on the true character of who God is. And the fact that their circumstances had dramatically changed for them in probably a short 24-hour time period, it didn't stop them from giving thanks to God. Because God was still in control, and God was obviously bigger than their circumstances, and they came to that realization. The second reason that we're often unthankful as believers is because we're consumed with ourselves. We live in a me generation, and we get caught up in the pursuit of our own personal happiness instead of the pursuit of personal holiness. We get caught up into thinking that what I have is because of me, because of my efforts, and because of my money, and because of my abilities, and because of my brilliant ideas. When in reality, those are simply forms of selfishness and pride, thinking a little too highly of ourselves. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." Now, why is it a sacrifice? Because being thankful forces us to take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on the Lord. It's giving up our self-focus. You know what? It's the realization that, you know what? God has been gracious to me and given me a lot, but he can take it away that fast. It's not me. It's not because of me. The more you become consumed with you, the more unthankful you will be. The more consumed you become with Jesus, the more thankful you will be. And then thirdly, we're often not thankful because we're not content. It is our nature never to be satisfied and to always want more, and we get focused on what we don't have versus what we do have. We covet what our neighbor has instead of thanking God for meeting our needs. And so the result is we complain, we become jealous, and we become critical of others who have something nicer than we do. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Now, I don't know if you noticed that circumstances and being consumed with ourselves and the lack of contentment are really all distractions and temptations that quickly extinguish thankful hearts, because all of those things keep our eyes off of the Lord. And so why give thanks? I guess that's really the question we're trying to answer here this morning. Why give thanks? Well, I'd ask you this question: do you like to be thanked? Of course we like to be thanked, right? To hear a thanks from someone is really precious to all of us, no matter what it may be for. As a parent or as anybody, we love to hear a thank you and an appreciation, even for the simplest things. And yet, on the other hand, it frustrates us and it bothers us when the people that we love and the people that we serve take things for granted, and when they complain about that just wasn't exactly what they wanted, or when they whine about a certain situation, Okay, it doesn't impress us, does it? And yet I think, how much more does God himself love to hear the thanks of his people? And on the other hand, how much more troubling is it to God when considering all that he is to us, all that he has done for us, how much he loves us, how gracious he is to us, and that we would somehow complain and ignore him and his goodness. Psalm 50, verse 23 says, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me." He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. Giving thanks pleases God like crazy. Let me give you four things here that you can take with you, why thanksgiving is so important. First of all, it is an expression of love to God. Scripture tells us that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and one of the primary ways in which we express love is to give thanks, and in this case, to give thanks to God for who he is. My question is, are you reminding yourself of who he is each day by spending time in his word? That is where we discover who God is. Because the more time you spend with him, the more you will love him, and the more that you love him, the more that you will be thankful for him. And so remind yourself often of who he is. Remind yourself of what the gospel is and all that Christ has done for you to give you new life and to give you eternal hope. I think that is a worthwhile considering on a daily basis before I get up every day to do whatever it is I'm going to do, is to just gain perspective of who God is and to thank him for who he is. The perspective might just completely radically change your whole outlook for the rest of the day. Especially when trivial things come up that you would love to complain about. It was Martin Luther that said, "See that you do not forget what you were before, lest you take for granted the grace and mercy you received from God and forget to express your gratitude each day." Good reminder. And so thankfulness is an expression of love to God. Secondly, it is a recognition of grace from God. What is grace? Well, grace means that we're actually getting something we don't deserve. And I think probably most of us know that and realize that everything we have comes from God. But how often do we stop and actually thank him for those things? Do we thank him for our job when many don't have one? And even though I may not have the job I exactly want, do I thank him for my abilities even though I may often feel inadequate? Do I thank him for my health even though I've got ailments? Do I thank him that I have a home to live in, that I have to have a bed to sleep in, that I have a car to drive, even though it may be a piece of junk rust bucket? You know, it still works, right? Still give thanks to God for that. Do we give thanks for family, or friends, for his protection, for little things like running water? Give thanks to him for hot water. Ooh, what would life be without hot water in the morning, for goodness sake? Do we give thanks for our church? Do we give thanks for our freedoms to worship? And do we give thanks even for our trials? See, to take for granted all of the temporal provisions and spiritual blessings that God gives us is to be unthankful and ultimately ignore God. Ephesians 5 verse 20 says, give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to give thanks is a recognition of grace from God, and it really applies to everything that we have. Third, it is a demonstration of faith in God. You say, well, how is that? Philippians 2:6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition with what? With thanksgiving. I think we miss that sometimes when we read this verse. Make all of your requests known to God. Okay, so it's saying whatever concerns you, you need to bring that before the throne of God. But in doing so, we are to wrap it up with thanksgiving. What does that mean? What that means is I'm coming to God and I'm saying, God, this concerns me. I'm confused about this. I need direction in this or this trial that I'm going through. I'm bringing that to you this morning. But I'm doing it with thanksgiving. I'm praying and saying, Lord, here it is, but thank you. Thank you for what? Thank you that you are God, and thank you that you know my situation better than I do, and thank you that you will do what is the best possible solution in my situation. It's a step of faith. It's a step of faith believing that God knows best as we bring our requests before him, thanking him in advance for what he's going to do. It is a faith in his providence and in his sovereignty to simply do what is best. And that, again, gives us perspective again when we read 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that says, give thanks in all circumstances. Well, how do I give thanks in all circumstances? Because of who God is and what he will do in the midst of my circumstances. And then fourthly, giving thanks is an extension of our witness of God. Psalm 67, 1 through 4 says this way. It says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Okay, so the idea here is I want the whole world to know who God is. But then listen to what it says next. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. See, our declaration of God and his greatness and his saving power and his forgiveness and his love and his hope, especially when the rest of the world is complaining about trivial matters, is attracting to our world to the wonder of who in the world is the Savior that we worship and give thanks to. It's an extension of our worship. Extension of our witness of God. You see, a thankful heart may very well be one of the most powerful means in which to reflect the reality of who Jesus is. Do you ever think about thankfulness as a tool of witnessing? On the other hand, a heart that ignores God by always complaining and always being negative and always taking things for granted only muddies up the reality of who Jesus is. And I have to be honest with you, I don't like being around unthankful, whiny, complaining people. I just don't. And I'm sure you would say the same thing. And if we would say that, then what in the world would the rest of our culture say about that? But the greater concern about that is not how it affects me. The greater concern is, when you're around an unthankful person, do you see Jesus in them? When you and I are unthankful, do people see Jesus in us? Well, I think unequivocally we have to say no, of course not. I think the sin of unthankfulness, which it is a sin, is just another reminder of how much we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. It's so easy to get our eyes onto so many other things and forget who God is and forget to give thanks to Him. And as a result, ignore Him. Very much like Israel. Let me close with a quote from a really old guy that was born in the 1600s. His name is William Law, and he said this: "Would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not he who prays most or fasts most. It is not he who lives most. But it is he who is always thankful to God, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness and has a heart always ready to praise God for it." Are we a thankful people? Let's bow together.